Gospel according to Matthew chapter 24. I'd like us to read from the verse number 23 to the verse number 27. Matthew 24:23-27. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This is the short passage that I desired us to read. Let us take a moment for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, there are so many things that we ought to thank Thee for, so many gifts and blessings that Thou hast given us in these past days, O Lord. We thank Thee, O Lord, and we praise Thee for Thy loving kindnesses. We are thankful, O Heavenly Father, for the ability, for the opportunity to share Thy holy word over the internet across mountains and seas. Though we are so far away from one another in the flesh, yet Thou hast given us that moment of being together in prayer, in thanksgiving, in sharing the Holy Scripture, in searching out the way that Thou art leading us to, receiving Thy gifts and blessings and Thy encouragement, Thy correction, Lord. Oh, great is Thy love and Thy faithfulness. To Thee belong honor and glory, worship and praise. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for occasional interference that we get from the others that get into the same system, because Thou hast given us, through that interference, an opportunity to reach out and to share Thy word with those that might be surprised by hearing it. Lord God Almighty, we pray that Thou bless the gospel message and multiply it, that Thou, O Heavenly Father, by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, touch the hearts and enlighten the minds and deliver the souls that are in need of salvation. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thy word be continually our bread of heaven and our fountain of living water, that Thy holy gospel, O Lord, empowered by Thy Holy Spirit, be our pillar of light in the night, and the cloud of Thy glory overshadowing us during the heat of the sun. Gracious Lord, as Thou art leading us on this journey toward that heavenly glory, we pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou keep us from distractions, that we be not disturbed inwardly from the small things that are coming from the outside, O Lord, that we be not dismayed by the great power of the enemy over those that submit and yield to his temptations. But Thou, O Heavenly Father, keep us from yielding to his enticement and allurement. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou forgive us our weaknesses, shortcomings and mistakes, that Thou, O Lord, deliver us from every self-will and hypocrisy, from every disobedience, make us free, O Lord. We pray again, O Heavenly Father, that Thou make us free from vanity and pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, that Thou deliver us from our doubts and fears, ignorances and superstitions. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou purify our inner man and bless us with pure and holy thinking. Give us pure, righteous affections, spiritual emotions, that we be not moved nor dismayed by the things of the world, but that we may see in everything that is around us, O Lord, that Thy word is being fulfilled exactly as Thou hast foretold. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thy word be fulfilled in us for the good and benefit of our souls as we strive to honor Thee, to worship Thee, O Lord. O grant us that power and that ability in ever-growing measure to be the children of the Most High, to be the humble and faithful followers of the Savior, to proclaim Thy gospel fearlessly and calmly, to proclaim, O Heavenly Father, the day of grace, and to herald the coming of Thy judgment. And above all, O Lord, we pray that Thou give us that grace and that gift, that blessing, to be armed with the whole armor of faith, to be clothed in the righteousness of the Lamb of God, to be free from worldliness, to be free, O Heavenly Father, from deception. May Thy truth enlighten us continually. Lord, we pray, fill us with Thy Spirit and grant us Thy loving Lordship in our daily walk. Heavenly Father, may our souls rejoice in Thy goodness and mercy. May we, O Heavenly Father, with gratitude receive Thy corrections, even Thy chastisement. Gracious Lord, our mighty God, as we are looking again into the words that Thou hast foretold by the last times and the glorious coming of our Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, grant us, O Heavenly Father, that even today in our hearts Thy beloved Son and our only Redeemer be our King of Kings, exalted above all. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, that today we may live in such godliness, purity, holiness, in such zeal for Thy will, as if the mountains were already melting and the ocean disappearing and the powers of the universe moving and shifting, as if right now the sun was darkened and moon disappeared and the stars falling and all that that Thou hast created out of nothing returning back into nothing, and only the human race gathered before Thy holy throne and divided to two sides. O grant us, O Lord, that we right now and all the days of our pilgrimage, we always walk on that right-hand side of Thine, that we live in true godliness, in true obedience, in faithfulness. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray that Thou save the lost, heal the sick, comfort the sad, strengthen the weak, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, give hearing to the deaf and eyesight to the blind. O Lord God Almighty, We pray that Thou strengthen our feeble hands, that we may do Thy will with joy and gladness, knowing that Thy word is being fulfilled and will be fulfilled, and Thou wilt come and gather Thine own to be with Thee in that glorious, blessed eternity. Amen. As we look at the words that we just read, in a wider sense, wider meaning, at least that appears as such to me, these words have been fulfilled in the past so many times. It's not a list of entirely new things that never happened before. The Lord says that in those days, the last days, if any man shall say unto the disciples, unto the believers, look, the Christ is here in a certain particular place, and the Lord Jesus says, you just don't believe it. Our Lord Jesus did appear in one place, in His body as a man, talking, preaching, teaching, living from day to day like most of the other people, with one major, great difference, and that is He was perfectly godly. And the problem, or the difficulty, or the struggle that both the unbelievers, the sinners, and the people that learn the Scripture and study the Bible and strive to follow the Lord, we all have one problem. We just cannot be perfect. We just somehow cannot manage to be perfectly righteous, and the sinners cannot be perfectly sinners. It's something very amazing that the sinners are striving always to sin more, and the righteous people are striving to be more righteous. That's our way. I remember when I was young, I was listening to a service. It was an old man that really had a long journey, probably longer than I will ever have. And he was preaching about the new birth and the renewal of the Spirit of God and the new life in Christ and so on. And he said, look, when man sinned, immediately he had to leave the Garden of Eden. That same day in the evening, when was the time for the fellowship with the Lord, he had to leave the Garden of Eden. And today, the Lord gave us salvation. He delivered us from the power of sin. He delivered us from the deception that is in the world. He moved us from the darkness to His light. But now He did not move us right back to the Garden of Eden. Now we have to journey, and we have to walk and strive and often struggle and have that battle for so long until finally, still imperfect, still unfinished, we are called to meet the Lord. And then we realize that He has done it all. We did nothing. Why is that so? And this old man was preaching of that, and he sighed deeply and he said, who will ever explain this to me? Why? Why do we have, once we received that salvation from the Lord, that wonderful gift, why do we have to be here in this earth any longer? Why not the moment we received, we believed, we repented from our sins, and the Lord accepted us for His own? Why are we not transferred right away? Years passed, And I went back to the same place. And this man was now so old that he could not get off his seat and walk to the pulpit, to the bookstand to preach. He was so old. And so a couple of ministers helped him, and they took him one by each arm, you know, to help him get up and walk to the bookstand, and he started preaching again. I don't know if he intended this time to answer to the question that might have been his lifetime question. But he preached again, and I listened again very carefully. I cannot repeat that, neither did I repeat the first part word by word, but just by my memory, the meaning of it. And he said, look, God created man good, and he created that man without any sickness, and he created him and placed him, God placed the man in the Garden of Eden with all the comfort, with all the enjoyment of life. It was a beautiful place, something that we cannot even imagine. And think of this, that man did not save it, did not preserve it, did not defend the Garden of Eden by rejecting the enemy, rejecting the lie, and cleaving and clinging and keeping the Word of God. But look what the Lord Jesus is doing nowadays, here in this world, surrounded by sin and woe, surrounded by enemies and deception and onslaught of the forces of darkness. He is building in us the new creation and the new creatures, preparing us for that heavenly glory. Oh, how wonderful! Oh, how glorious! Christ is not here or there. The kingdom of God is in the hearts of those that believe. There are many that say they believe, but faith without fruits of the Spirit is dead. The true faith is witnessed by the Reformation, by the transformation, by the growing in faith, by following the Lord Jesus. And we remember how the disciples followed the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus turns to them and says, blessed are your eyes that see what you see, and your ears that hear what you hear. And then a little bit later or before that, he said, no, what are you talking about? You know not what kind of spirit you are. We are not here to destroy, but to save. We are frequently distracted. I hope I'm not offending anyone. But if I am, let me limit that to myself. I am frequently distracted. Yes, I do make many mistakes. And the Lord said to Paul the Apostle, my grace is perfectly manifested in your weakness. If that was the answer to an apostle like Paul the Apostle, I think it's much more applicable to me, to any faithful, sincere, and often distracted, mistaken disciple of the Lord. The Lord says here again, do not believe. Christ will not appear in the body, visible to the human mortal eyes, in any place in the earth. And those that tell that they have seen Christ, or that they are coming in his name, they are well described in the verse 24. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets. And they will show great signs and wonders. I'm so glad that the Lord did not say here, they will perform great signs and wonders. They will mainly show. And we see today many shows. The shows go on TV programs, radio programs, massive gatherings. Everywhere there are shows. But the true miracle of salvation is not here nor there. We can find it only in one place, and that is our own heart. When our heart is broken before the Lord. When we confess and acknowledge, Lord, we are undone. Lord, forgive us. Lord, purify us. Lord, sanctify thou us. Make us worthy of thy calling. Restore to us thy deep inner peace and the joy of thy salvation. Arm us with the whole armor of faith and help us to see. To see us as thou art seeing us and to see thee as thou art. When our eyes are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not going to fall into the deep waves of the sea. Insomuch as that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. They will try, and some of the disciples for a time might be distracted, might be confused, but those that follow the Lord will not lose the way. They will always turn back to the Lord. And the Lord says in the verse 25, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. And we know that there was an attempt, an idea, and some groups really did something in that direction. And that is, let us get together as few or as many as we are and get out of the world physically, geographically. Let's get somewhere far away, make our own village or city or community and live like that. And Christ is not there. Go not forth. Christ is not in the desert. Christ is in the Word of God and in the hearts of those that obey the Word of God. There is no other temple, no other sanctuary, no other place in earth where Christ is. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Oh, we have so many chambers. We have Crystal Cathedral, just somewhere up to close to Los Angeles, somewhere there. I heard about that. I never went to see that. I noticed that off the Highway 5 there is Mormon temple, and it's so decorated, it's so expensive, it's so special in a way. I know for sure Christ is not there, unless he went in with a scourge or something, you know, to chase out all the false prophets. But here we see that our Lord and Savior is foretelling us ahead of the time, believe it not. The Lord did not tell us, you do everything you can to prove them that they're wrong, or you demonstrate, or throw a bomb on their building, or that kind of things. No, that's not of the Lord. We use a different weapon. The whole armor of faith is available to us, and I have to confess to you, I don't think I ever had it all. I don't think I trained myself sufficiently to be able, and especially to my embarrassment, to be willing to use the whole armor of God. Especially meekness, a humble heart, patience, long suffering. I don't know what to say else. I think it's so sinful to try to display courage when there is no great fear or great threat. And to be meek and humble when there is courage and when there is, persecution and threat and dangers and so on. Then we want to be meek and humble. The apostles are teaching the opposite way and condition. Be meek and humble with one another. Be patient and kind to one another. Be brave and courageous against the enemy. When you're facing death and torture, then you be brave and courageous, like Stephen or Stephen, one of the seven deacons. Should I say one of the first seven deacons? I don't know if Stephen was harsh and mean to the leaders, like the high priests and the scribes and Pharisees and the elders of the people that were in that gathering to condemn him, to murder him. I don't know if he said, "Ye stiff-necked, nasty, ugly people, enemies of God," and so on. Or maybe he said it in a very still and calm voice. "You're just stiff-necked. You always oppose the Spirit of God. You're always against the will of the Lord. That's why you murdered the perfect righteous man that ever walked on this earth." Well, in any case, we can see that he was brave, he was courageous, he was calm, he was free. He did not get distracted by what was around him and what was threatening him. Even when the stones were hitting him from every side, impacting with mortal bruises, deadly, fatal bruises all over his body, he still had sufficient time to cast his last look toward the pitiful victims of the enemy. And he said, "Lord, do not charge these sins to them." Short prayer, but a very great meaning. "Lord, save them. Deliver them from themselves." And then the last words, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." No mistake. He knew exactly the address where he was going to. So the Lord is saying again here, don't believe the distraction of the world. Don't believe the deception of the enemy. Don't be hungry for sensations. Just keep the word of God and follow me. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." If we are here, if we are sure that the Lord has found us in this west world, he found us, he took us out of the world, and he placed our feet on the path of righteousness. If he is able and willing to do that, we have no reason to doubt or to question whether he is able to find us once we are his. "As the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west." And I don't know, maybe some lightning will shine from the north to the south and the other way around. Really doesn't matter. "As the lightning is visible to all the people that are under that lightning, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be visible to all the mankind, for we are all under him." He is above. And then the Lord says, Wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles gathered together. Now, what would that mean? The eagles are far above. The carcasses are dead, motionless, down here on this earth. And the eagles are flying, and they see exactly where is what, and they get where they want to be. I think that in these worlds, among some possible deeper and more hidden meaning, that part of the meaning at least is that God is not going to miss anyone of His, and death is not going to miss anyone of hers. You know, there will be no mistake, no sinner will by some mistake be taken into the kingdom of heaven. And no righteous man will be somehow lost and dropped down. There will not be any mistakes. The Lord knows His own, but let everyone that mentions the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. So our main concern should not be, oh, when is the Lord coming? But am I ready for His coming now? Our main concern is not how shall the Lord appear? What will happen? How shall we know that that's His coming and not somebody else's? No. Our main concern is that we follow the Lord now and here and not to follow somebody else. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. That's verse 29. And the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens shall be shaken. That sounds quite awful. That sounds quite terrible. But you know, I heard that these people that are flying in that space shuttle or whatever the name of that is, when they looked from that outer space and there are many other heavenly bodies or planets and stars and this and that, they had around them such a sight, such a horizon that they never have seen on this earth, and only one tiny speck in that universe had life. Only the earth is their home. Well, I think they might get a little bit lonely being way out there, but the earth is not our home. The earth is the place of our pilgrimage. We are here out in the field working for our master. We are here out on the front of the battle following our captain, our king. This is only a short period of time. You see, when we follow the Lord, when we are on the path of righteousness, on the path of salvation, there is only one place we can reach, and that is the everlasting glory. There cannot be a mistake unless we twist around the scripture, unless we follow some other guidance, unless we believe that God is revealing to us something that supersedes His word. And that kind of things, that's deception, that's distraction, that's another path and another gospel and another way of salvation that is actually the way of perdition, destruction. But when we follow the Lord and we see His kingdom ahead of us And we anticipate the glory of the Almighty God to fill the universe. Who cares if the sun is darkened? Who cares if the moon disappeared? And let the stars fall wherever they fall. I don't care. I'm just waiting for my Lord. As He created the universe out of the nothing, He can return the whole universe into nothing. It's all in His power. Let them fall down. Let everything disappear. Let that universe shake as soon as possible, and it will not be any second earlier nor later, but exactly at the moment that He has appointed. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Well, I think that is necessary to see the sign of the Son of Man, not only in heaven, but also in this earth, and not only at that last moment, but also now. Now at this time. What is the sign of the Son of Man on this earth, here, today? Well, that sign has many parts that are all together making a big sign. I think I can mention a few, and I think that each one of you could add a few. But let's think about when the Lord said to His disciples, if anyone will follow Me, let him deny himself. And there is the sign of the Son of Man. There is the sign of the Son of God. Deny himself. John the Baptist said, I should disappear, I should decrease, and He should increase. Growing in the will of the Lord. Peaceful, joyful will of the Lord. Not making a big trouble of everything that He is asking from me to do. When He is leading me hand by hand, I just follow. I shouldn't say, oh Lord, Thy hand is too short. I don't want to follow that closely. Lord, Thy hand is too long. I cannot hold it anymore. It's too heavy. You know, that kind of excuses or that kind of showing that I am increasing and He is decreasing in my life. But rather, as John the Baptist said, let the Son of God grow greater and greater in my soul, and my will disappear. Paul the Apostle said in one of the epistles, he said that he died with Christ, but the fact that he lives now is actually living by the Spirit of Christ that lives in me. And he said, I labored more than all, but not I. I'm really dead. Christ, His grace, labored in me. So wonderfully. He didn't say, oh, the grace of God was so powerful in me. That's so difficult. That's so awful. That's so terrible. No. He said, I am fulfilling the suffering of the Lord in my body, in my flesh. I did not suffer enough. I'm running. I need more of that. I don't have time to play with those that ever argue and never find the truth. I will just follow the Lord. And he rushed on his way. So when we see the Lord ahead of us, when we see His kingdom, all these stars and sun and moon and earth and everything, all of that is good only as much as we can use it to serve the Lord this short period of time. And as soon as our work is done, let His glory fill the universe. Just like in the beginning when God was creating the world, and He said, light, and light just flooded the universe. So may His light flood our souls, our minds today, that we may see the sign of the Son of Man in earth and in heaven, and that we may mourn today over our shortcomings, our mistakes, our insufficiency, and that as we mourn over our insufficiency, we may experience more and more of His joy over His sufficiency. His grace is sufficient for all our needs. All the tribes of the earth shall mourn. I think there are only two tribes. There are the tribes of those that are saved and the tribes of those that rejected salvation. Only two tribes, I think, two nations. Oh, there may be some people in between at this time. I hope they will hurry up and join the proper group, or actually follow the Lord Jesus, because He is among His own. But if anyone be close to the ark, to that big ship that Noah was building, anyone was close to that ark, just watching, observing everything, but he didn't walk in it and didn't find himself inside when the Lord closed the door, well, then he was outside. It's not necessary to be close to the Bible. It's not sufficient to be close to the Bible. It's necessary to be in the Bible, to have the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and to walk in Him according to His Spirit, not according to the flesh and blood. So, yes, the tribes, especially that tribe that is in darkness, will mourn, because after all the lies that they believe and believed are proved to be lies. And all the truth that the Bible has proclaimed finally is confirmed that it is the truth. And they look and they see, we truly go to hell. We really go to that everlasting condemnation. We are lost forever. Oh, how awful, how terrible. And they will have no ability to repent, because repentance, true godly repentance, is a gift from God. That what they rejected all the time of their life on earth, they will not have any more offered to them. They have chosen the judgment, the condemnation, the last state. Now they have it. And it's a terrible thing. And they will see how awful that is. Now, the other tribe will weep for joy, rejoicing and seeing that even as weak and as insufficient as I am, the Lord has delivered me. The Lord made me His own. The Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great, great glory. May that glory of His be sufficiently great in our mind and heart that we meekly and humbly wait for His coming. Meekly wait and murmur not. The Lord is coming for sure. He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. In all this universe, there won't be one of the saved lost and one of the lost saved. There won't be any mistake. But could we see His angels going under the heaven all over this earth and sounding the sound of the trumpet today? Could we be His angels sounding the same trumpet? Can we take this gospel wholeheartedly and follow the Lord and proclaim the word and suffer and suffer and rejoice in suffering for Him. For truly, what are we doing? What kind of suffering that is? The only one that really and truly suffered is the Lord. He took the load of our sins upon Himself. He did not complain about His physical suffering, as awful and dreadful as it was. But He suffered as a lamb, silently. As much as He said loudly on the cross was because we needed something to hear. Because our hearing was, and to some extent still might be, insufficient and weak to hear the spiritual sound that the mortal ears do not hear. So He gave us something that was necessary for us, that we may know He is suffering more than we can understand. So, may that sound be so loud and so clear in our hearts of the gospel trumpet that finally it echoes through us and reach the others also. And the Lord says in the verse 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch, his branch or its branch are yet tender, and it starts budding and growing leaves, then we know that the summer is nigh. And I remember some people were interpreting this, that the fig tree is the nation of Israel, and now we see that the nation of Israel went back to their country, to the promised land of their fathers, and they become a nation again. They're again that fig tree, and they have leaves, they have buds, they don't have anything as far as I can see. I don't mean to be too mean and too rude. They are just Gentiles, perhaps more than many other Gentiles. Really, perhaps I should not judge and be so harsh, but I think that so many American Gentiles that call themselves Christians of one kind or another are just about as much Gentiles as the Jews, that physically and as far as their bloodline is concerned, perhaps have a tiny percentage of the blood of Abraham. But in any case, the flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. It really means nothing altogether. And that's why I appreciate a detail, and I'm thankful for it, in Luke's Gospel. I think it's chapter 21, verse 29. Let me look and check just to be sure that I'm incorrect, that I don't say something wrong. I think it was... Yeah, that's Luke 21, verse 29. The Lord said to them a parable, behold, a fig tree and all the trees. So He's not talking about one nation, whether Israel or any other. There are some people that talk about 10 lost tribes, and you know who they are? Anglo-Saxon people. Oh, how interesting. They usually pick up the worst people, the bloodiest people in the world, to label them with some extra label. But I think there are only two tribes. And there is here, when the Lord is saying, He is saying a parable, and He is telling us, look, you have seen so many times, year after year, when the trees are budding and growing leaves, you know that that indicates the another season is upon us. And so, you have seen the word of God fulfilled so many times in the past. It will be fulfilled again. It will be fulfilled in that last season, in that last time when the Lord is coming. Our problem or our difficulty, our task, our main goal should not be what the Lord is going to do. He will do His part all right. Our main concern is to continue in prayers that we follow the Lord, that we obey His word, that we know and obey His word. May the Lord bless His word and fill our hearts with His presence, His rulership. May He be our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And may we decrease continually until our offering, our burnt offering, our spiritual worship be completed, and upon that altar of self-denial, the altar of true worship of God, there are only ashes left. That will be our testimony, just like the testimony to righteous Abel, that our offering has been acceptable to the Lord because it was His offering in us.